afternoon, listeners and viewers, and welcome to another episode of Disrupt Ed. But here's the thing. We are going next level in 2024, and so we are launching a new series within the Disrupted community, and it's called Ordinary Humans Making an Extraordinary Impact. So we're opening up the aperture of our conversations with people who on the surface appear pretty ordinary, but when you meet them and you hear from them, you can see that in this ginormously disrupted world of work and learning and community, these people are making an epic difference. I'm really pleased to be inviting to the show my guest host, Ashley Williams, right here in the city of Detroit. Ashley will be showing up in some of our subsequent episodes, but I'm taking the first one solo because we had an immediate opportunity to interview someone who casts a very, very bright shadow around his community. And I'm going to be talking here with none other than Ethan Lloyd, who is currently the City of Detroit's social media manager. Ethan, welcome to Disrupt Ed.
Thank you for having me, Ron. It's a pleasure to speak with you on your platform.
Well, thank you. And it's so great. You know, I was talking to Ethan off camera, so we actually met some time ago, and we've been kind of, you know, professionally dating, as I like to say. You know, we've been getting to know each other and how we can be helpful to each other and how we can lift up our community. And even though we're going to be taking a national look at ordinary humans making an extraordinary impact, Ethan kind of made me realize we got to start this conversation in Detroit. And one of the reasons why is because when you talk to Detroiters about what they most love about this city, it's the people. And we're talking here about hard scrabble. Don't let anything stop them. Detroit versus everybody. No BS. And high GSD index. They get shit done. And this guy is right at the front of that list. So, Ethan, let's hear a little bit about how you came on to the vibrant social media scene for the city of Detroit. You had some successful predecessors, but you've kind of taken it entirely next level. So tell us a little bit about yourself to get us started. You're a native Detroiter. You've been here. You're living and breathing the Detroit dream, as we like to say. So fill us in on a little bit about your background.
Absolutely living and breathing the Detroit dream. So as Ron said, I'm Ethan Lloyd. I caught my break into social media during college, actually. I started a social media marketing agency because I saw that there was a need for businesses to increase their reach to their audience and their customer base. And what I thought was really cool was while I was studying finance, so I don't have a degree in social media or marketing. I was studying finance at Wayne State University, and I noticed that Wayne State was a non-target school. I noticed that a lot of financial institutions and wealth management firms were looking at NYU. They were looking at Harvard, Yale to hire interns. And I wanted to stand out amongst the competition. And what I did was I approached all of the people hiring, and I told them that I can run your social media and I can organize the filing cabinet. I can do the PowerPoints, but I can also create a social media strategy for you. Now, I didn't have any in-depth experience at that time, but I saw it as an opportunity to get that. And I didn't know what it would grow into, but what ended up happening was I started a social media marketing agency while in college, and it ended up blowing up completely. I had a lot of clientele and it became a full-time engagement. I started
Let me stop you there, Ethan, because you're talking about how you did this at a very young age, while you're in high school, while you're in college, but you had some other pretty powerful influences right at home.
Oh, you absolutely.
Talk about that for a little bit? Yeah.
Oh, so I mean, what's amazing is I have two lovely, loving parents who are, you know, my superheroes. My mother, her name is Melissa Lloyd. She is currently a principal in Michigan, and she's been a principal at almost every school I've went to. She was the principal at Belleville High School, which is where I went to high school. She was the principal at UPrep Middle School, which I absolutely loved. And what's really cool is my father, he is a director of IT at Alex Partners currently. So, and he's been in the IT space for a while. So Ron and I met at Black Tech Saturdays. And what's cool is, and I love Black Tech Saturdays. They're doing amazing things in Detroit. But what is amazing is tech is embedded in my blood, and education is embedded in my blood right here at home. And I grew up in a very, honestly, a highly intelligent environment. My home was, you know, my mother's read tens of thousands of books, and she wears that with pride. And my father is a self-taught IT manager. He's self-taught. He didn't go to college for it. He was a medic in the Army, went to med school. And after he went to med school, he bought a bunch of books on IT work, studied it, and landed a job at a pharmaceutical company doing IT work and gained the experience and scaled it to where it is now, where he's a director. And that's very similar to my path because I'm self-taught when it comes to social media. We had a couple viral moments for my nonprofit clients. One that I'd love to mention is Avalon Village, Mama Shoe in Highland Park. We created a lot of content for her.
We love Mama Shoe. Now, absolutely. I mean, she's doing some amazing things in our community here.
Absolutely. And I love how she turned tragedy into triumph. It's just a beautiful story. And she told me her story, and I just completely fell in love with it. And I wanted to help share it on social media. But I knew that it's not just about telling the story. It's about selling it. So she had a lot of press coverage. She was on Ellen. She was on all these talk shows. She was on TED Talks. But what I knew was we needed to make that story bite size. And we did that. And we got 30 million views for her.
Unbelievable. In three months. I know that's crazy successful. And I want to talk about this for a second because, you know, I'm one of those people that's out there on social media and I get requests to meet with people who are going to boost my social media signal every day. And there has to be a way to vet who's good at this and who's simply selling a service. And so I want to tell our listening and viewing audience, this guy is the real deal. So we started talking a week ago, and he started giving me tips after I attended his workshop on boosting your social media signal, which is unmissable. Ethan, you did such a great job with that program, and it was so fun to be a part of it. It was so energizing, but it was so, you know, practical. My signal went from 3,500 views up to today, it's at 27,000.
Wow.
We're talking about 10 days here. So you are the real deal. I can tell that to our audience that you, but here's the thing, you know, you're this young tech guy, self-taught in some respects, but going to school, stepping away to build and scale this business of yours, helping people. But then you're also, as we like to talk about on this show, Disrupt Ed, you have a high GSD index. You really get a lot of shit done. And in addition to boosting the signal for the city of Detroit, you're also in the process of starting your own nonprofit, Digital Undivided. And absolutely, I think that's a really powerful story that connects all of this. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and the motivation behind it? Because I think it's a pretty powerful initiative to really connect people in a new and powerful way.
Absolutely. So it's titled Digital Undivided. And what I want people to know is there is a huge digital gap within the family, within our households. We can't communicate the way that we ought to communicate. One marketing principle that I love to teach my clientele is you need to meet people where they are, not where they aren't. I'm not going to try to force you to come to Facebook if you spend your whole day on Instagram. I'm going to go to Instagram to communicate with you all day. That's just a better use of my time. And what I learned was there are Gen Xers, there are Gen Zers, there are millennials. Everybody has their platform. I think that the seniors lean more towards Facebook and maybe email and phone call. I think that millennials are also on Facebook and X, formerly Twitter, and a little bit on Instagram, but they're kind of like tiptoeing on Instagram. They're not really submerged in it the way that Gen Zers are. And what I noticed is that each generation is struggling to communicate with one another. But this is a huge problem because after lockdown, the number one form of socialization became social media. Social media is the number one way to communicate with your family, your friends, your audience.
During COVID, you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. During COVID. So if we are separated, and I know this from my personal life, my grandmother, who just recently passed away, she used Facebook and she sent everybody emails. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not an email person. I didn't open my emails and see all of her messages. And unfortunately, a lot of those messages weren't seen.
Never found their audience, basically, yeah, right?
She was emailing herself.
They were well intended, but they didn't reach the audience.
And absolutely. What ended up happening was, which I do regret, but I learned from my mistake and I want others to learn from my mistake. And that's why I've created Digital Undivided, is she wasn't able to communicate with us like that because, you know, she was a senior. We couldn't be in the same right. room as her during COVID. We couldn't be near her. So we couldn't be in the house with her. That was the number one way that we communicated. What ended up happening was, is that communication had a barrier, and it was the fact that she didn't know. I didn't take the time to teach her how to use TikTok, how to use Instagram, how to use Twitter, where all her nieces, nephews, cousins, and grandchildren
extended family, right?
Absolutely. That's where we all are. Very few of us read our email, to be completely honest. So there was a gap, which could have been avoided if I took the time and I was intentional about teaching my grandmother. She recently passed, and I look back and I see all these opportunities. I've actually went back through the email and I see all these missed conversation pieces, these almost shared gems, experiences.
Right.
Yeah, these gems.
Right.
But
you know, I want to kind of challenge you a little bit here, because lest our audience think that you didn't have a robust back and forth with your grandmother, she was actually a very powerful influence in your life, and she really had taught you some pretty basic lessons at a very important time. Why don't you share a little bit about that? Because I'm, as our audience knows, I had a very beloved grandmother, Vicky, who was a Polish immigrant. I used to tell people she was like Edith Bunker with a Polish accent, and she was so down to earth. And Ethan and I share that. So you had this same kind of relationship with your grandmother. And I think it's important for people to hear that story.
Absolutely. So I love telling this story. My grandmother basically raised me. I don't want that misconception out there. She basically raised us every single day from kindergarten to eighth grade. She drove me and my siblings to school. She drove us to school. She prepared breakfast for us. Nobody asked her to do these things. She just did it out the kindness of our heart. And she took care of us. She taught us things. She had two rules, though. I'm going to do all this for you, but I want you to take my trash out when it's trash day. And I want you to get my meal, because she didn't, you know, Netflix had the CDs in the red envelope. She didn't use the app. She got her CDs mailed to her, her DVDs mailed to her, so she could watch her movies. So her thing was, get my meal so I can watch Netflix and take my trash out. So one day after school, she drove us to her house, and she said, all right, Ethan, it's time to get my meal so I can watch my movie. And I was like, all right, cool. So I step outside her house, and as I'm walking to her mailbox, a rabid dog foaming at the mouth. It was a tiny little thing, but it was dangerous and aggressive, starts charging at me, rushing at me. And I run back in the house and I say, Grandma, I can't get the mail. There's a rabid dog out there. It's bad out there. I'm going to get bit. I'm going to get hurt. We'll get your mail tomorrow. She said, okay, I'll be right back. She goes in the back, she gets a broomstick. She untwists the bristles from the broom and hands me the stick and says, Ethan, go and get my mail. And if that dog comes to you and tries to bite you, give it a good whack. And it won't try to bite you after that. And
That's pretty hardcore, I have to say.
Yeah, she was tough, though. She was so sweet. But what I learned was she was teaching me something with that. You should be sweet, but you should walk with a big stick. You should carry yourself with strength, but you should be kind and be charismatic and encourage others and things of that nature. So she was a kind, loving soul, but she had that stick with her, you know, and she instilled that in me. So, you know, you carry yourself well. And I learned that from her. And I think I could have continued to learn from her if I, you know, bridged that gap and brought her to Instagram, brought her to, you know, Twitter, maybe not TikTok, maybe TikTok. I could have taught her that. And what I want to do with Digital Undivided is I would like to go on a tour, and I am going to senior homes, churches, places where seniors populate, and teach them the know-hows, just the to-dos on social media so that they can speak with their loved ones. Because at the end of the day, that's what this is about. We want to tell people.
You know,
how much
I think
we love
you have a powerful educational evangelism DNA in your purpose here, and I'm really excited for you about that. And I saw it, as I said to our listening and viewing audience, that I saw this firsthand at Black Tech Saturday. So I think we should unpack that a little bit, because we are going to have Johnny and Alexa Turnage, who started Black Tech Saturdays, here on the show in the coming weeks. But, you know, I think it's important to talk about Black Tech Saturdays in terms of building community, because you gave a very powerful presentation workshop there, and you became part of the growing movement that is Black Tech Saturday. So I'd like you to share a little bit from your perspective how explosive that movement has become in a very short time.
Oh my goodness. So first of all, Black Tech Saturdays is the greatest thing going on in Detroit right now. It is a free recurring event on Saturdays where those interested in the tech industry and those involved in the tech industry, founders, CEOs, Kickstarters, they can come out and at New Lab or wherever they hold it, and they can network with each other and learn from each other. And there's always a teaching element, but it's a place where not just Black people, but Black people as well can populate and, you know, be vulnerable and open and learn from one another. And that's a powerful thing that, you know, I completely look forward to hearing Johnny and Alexa talk about. They had me on there to teach. They heard all the great things that I was doing at the City of Detroit, 20 million views in 10 months, 100,000 additional followers in 10 months, organically, no ads, no influencers. And they reached out to me and they wanted me to teach a workshop to their audience, to the tech founders, to the tech community in Detroit about how to go viral on social media, how to leverage social media for your personal and professional purposes. And I did not realize so many people were interested in hearing from me. First of all, I have this thing where I'm like Batman.
I mean, you drew, let's just be honest here, you drew quite a crowd. Now, to be fair, Black Tech Saturdays has been growing.
Oh, yeah.
When I first started going last fall, they had robust attendance of, you know, 50, then 100 people, maybe 150 people. But when we were there last week for your presentation, there were well over 500 people there. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It just blew up.
It was huge. And everybody was there because they wanted to, I think they wanted to finally meet the social media manager for the City of Detroit. That was my first time announcing that it was me. I've kind of been like Batman, incognito. Nobody knew who it was. Everybody was in the comments, who is this guy? Who is this guy? But I came out and I shared my three method way of going viral. It's a three-step plan. It involves polarity, nostalgia, and being first. And I broke that down in detail, asked questions. We had an interactive moment, and we had the largest collaborative post in Detroit history. Over 80 collabs in an instant. Collab post, meaning we shared that content. And 100,000 views in an instant. Literally, by the click of a button,
unbelievable.
80 people click posts.
Well, and it was also pretty fun because I think you broke through with a lot of us who have been experimenting and learning more about how to create virality in our voice. But we also have to have a purpose for that. And I think the purpose here for those of our listening and viewing audience, purpose is very clear. We're building a community here of people who are trying to navigate this 5G wired, workforce augmented, technologically interconnected, globally interdependent, AI accelerated, pandemic interrupted world of work and learning and community. And absolutely. I think that's the end goal, is that we lift our voices, we get them out there, we bring people together. And Johnny and Alexa are having a lot of success doing that. It's fun. It's a very energizing Saturday, so you know, to spend time with people there because they're so open. There are people that are hiring there. There are people that are looking to get hired. There are people starting companies. And then there are people like me who are just helping to lift that story and to power that story throughout the community. So that's really great. But I want you to also talk, I mean, you've made a profound impact in the world of social media for our city, my hometown, in a very short amount of time. So share with the audience just where you started and where it's at now, because I think this is pretty revealing here.
Thank you. So I got into this role and I said, I want it to feel like a Detroiter is running this page. And I want it to be undeniable. I started the Instagram. It was given to me. I started at 55,000 followers on Instagram. We are now at almost 150,000 followers in 10 months. Organically, no ad budget, no influencer budget, just creating content that Detroiters can relate to. We reached 400,000 out of the 600,000 Detroiters on Instagram. They tell us this data when you look at the insights. 400,000 Detroiters. That is the majority of the population. They saw our content.
Right.
20 million views organically in 10 months. Our top post has 7 million views. And this was a team effort. I'm managing a team of six with that, but
I'm going to give you all stats. I mean, I've met your team at Black Tech Saturdays. You've attracted and recruited a great team of enthusiastic storytellers who are creative, who are can-do, and who are getting the story of Detroit out there. And I think that's so vitally important. You know, let's share with the audience for just a minute. You know, this is taking place at New Lab, which is the incubator for the Center for Mobility right in Detroit at Michigan Central Innovation Campus. And New Lab is inviting and recruiting companies to show up there and collaborate and partner with the automotive industry to reestablish and take our dominance as a global center for mobility way, way next level. And so to have the Black Tech Saturdays event happening there weekly is really powerful because there's so much energy in that building. And I think it's when we first met, you and I was at the opening for New Lab, and there were over 3,000 people there who really convinced, I think, both of us that, you know, Detroiters want to hear this. Detroiters want to participate in this energy. They want to hire Detroiters, and they want to be hardscrabble about it and get to the business of putting people into tech. And I think we ought to have a little shout out for one of the people who's really been an influencer in getting this off the ground, and that's our friend Doug Song from Ann Arbor, who started the Song Family Foundation after selling his company Duo Security to Cisco in 2018. And Doug is someone who really believes something that you've been talking about and really inspiring me about, and that is lifting people up through technology and through the industry of tech by taking people who are underserved in our city, people who are underskilled. And there is a low barrier of entry if you get to it and you start acquiring these tech skills. You can make a huge difference and you can make a huge move with your career. And I think a lot of people at Black Tech Saturdays are finding this out. Would you agree with that,
John? I would absolutely agree with that. That is really the amazing part of New Lab that I've seen. Not only are they the first with a lot of things they're doing, they have the first EV charging roadway on 14th Street right in front of the building, but they're doing it with Detroiters, and they're inviting Detroiters to come out to share their innovative ideas and to help scale. And I've met Doug, and you know, the work that he's doing with the Song Foundation, he is an absolute genius. And it's very apparent, you know.
Well, we're going to, Doug has said that he'll be on our show. So we have to highlight some of the efforts he and his wife are doing with the Song Foundation, because it's really, really empowering here in the city. Well, to our listening and viewing audience, I think it should be clear in this past episode that we have someone here who looks on the surface to be just another ordinary human, but is doing some profoundly extraordinary things in the world of technology right here in our community here in downtown Detroit. So, Ethan, thank you so much for being part of this conversation, for sharing what you're doing, for sharing this amazing new initiative, Digital Undivided. So those of you who are out there and think you're not connecting with your audience because you're not on the right channel, this is the guy to get you beaming on the right channel. And I can speak from that personal experience. I'm going to close out with a little anecdote about our last encounter, because Ethan and I are both fans of American Coney Island here in Detroit, and we're both Coney fans. So we decided to have one of our meetings where we're working together right there at American Coney Island. Now, what we didn't know until we showed up is that my Polish heritage was on broad display at American Coney Island, because yesterday was Fat Tuesday here in Detroit, and that means Punchki Day. And if you're not familiar with Punchkis, though, they are those ridiculously delicious jelly-filled donuts that you get once a year in every Polish bakery, grocery store, gas station in this city. So Ethan and I show up there to find out about the phenomenon known as Coney Punchkis. So they're serving up a punchki without the jelly and replacing that with a Coney filling of the hot dog, chili, onions, and mustard. And I think we both kind of, you know, we didn't jump into the deep water there. We tipped our feet in there a little slowly.
Yeah, you were cutting off slivers.
That's right. That's right. We were both not saying, oh, I want, give me, you know, I still had my backup, you know, full bread Coney behind that, depending upon how it would turn out. But I think, I mean, it's a thing, right? I mean, the place was jam-packed. Grace Karos, the proprietor at American Coney, has been operating that restaurant in Detroit. Her family has been there since 1917, over 100 years. And they had a lot of fun with that. And as it turned out, you know, when you're connected with the right people, wonderful things happen. And so I have to share with you, if you haven't seen it on social media, we were actually approached by a reporter from CBC News to give our own take on Coney Punchki. So I thought that was sort of symbolic, you know, as we're developing this partnership, you and I, Ethan, and as we're helping more and more people to lift their message and to share their message in getting disrupted with us. I think it's so ironic that we had a live reporter asking us to tell our story about our experience with the Coney Punchki. So you can see that on my social media feed. You can see it on Ethan's. Ethan, they caught your better moment when you had, you know, taken full advantage of the Coney Punchki and felt pretty good about it, the savory sweet aspect of the whole experience. But
yeah,
we went back to our traditional Coneys, didn't we?
Yeah, no. So immediately after, we went and ordered some good old fashioned Coney dogs, just to, not necessarily to cleanse the palate, but just to remind ourselves of why we love American Coney Island.
Well, Ethan, I have to tell you, to my listening and viewing audience, you can see this ordinary 22-year-old young human being who's making an extraordinary impact in our city on social media with our community. Digitally Undivided, bringing people together using technology and powering it through the media of social media. Just great work you're doing, Ethan. You. I enjoy working with you. We're going to have more stuff to talk about. We're going to have you back here. But in the meantime, to our listening and viewing audience, thanks for joining us here on our new series, Disrupt Ed, Ordinary People Making an Extraordinary Impact. And thank you, Ethan, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Until next time.